How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a young English noblewoman who suffered from an incurable malady. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And I certainly agree with that. But now, step with me behind the scenes, back over 300 years to a quaint English harbor. The long row of white houses facing the cobblestone road, the gray sails on the miniature ships tossing in a lead-gray sky, and the foam of the waves beating in perpetual fury against the embankments, relentless as life or death. In one of the houses, a window is thrown open. Beside it, in an ornate canopied bed, a lovely young woman tosses, turns, and mumbles in her sleep. You can't understand the words she's saying? No, they're strange words of a foreign tongue. No one in the room can understand them. Not even her handsome young husband, John, but each of them can read the heartbreak in her eyes. Lady Rebecca Rolfe was dying. She knew it now, had to admit it even to herself. She'd been dying for a long, long time, a little each day for the past 12 months. And only one person knew the cure, Lady Rebecca herself. She knew, she had known for a long time. At first, during those unbelievably exciting weeks in London when the new Lady Rolfe was the toast of the capital, the belle of every ball, she hadn't realized that the sickness had crept into her spirit. She'd been too busy. She'd learned to dance, the English dances, had gowns that swept to the floor and whispered to her as she walked, jewels bright as sunsets to lie against her throat, sparkling even more in contrast to her dark complexion. She'd been received in every fashionable home. At first, as a stranger from a distant land, she felt the curiosity in their glance, the lifted eyebrow and the quizzical smile. But she'd won them over, won them all with her charm and exotic beauty and her youth. For Lady Rolfe was only 22, won them all, even the king. But in that very moment, as she curtsied on the polished palace floor, she felt the first symptoms of her illness. It was such a simple malady with such a simple cure, and yet the doctors didn't know it. Lady Rebecca was dying from homesickness. John had understood. He'd take her home. But it was too late. Before they reached the harbor, Lady Rebecca collapsed and was carried gently to the canopied bed in the White House overlooking the docks. It was too late. Lady Rebecca would never go home. The twilight breeze rustled the heavy silk curtains of the bed and far out in the harbor filled the sails of the tiny vessel that pushed into the horizon, the ship that carried Lady Rebecca's heart, but not her body, across the sea. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. Lady Rolfe sighed as she fell back against the pillows. Then she turned to her husband and forced her breath to shape the words in her new language. John, she said, John, I will never leave England now, never go home. I know that. I'm going to die. I know that also. I realize that soon I shall be forgotten by everyone except you who love me. And it's foolish to hope otherwise. But I wish that I might be remembered in my own land, remembered just a little in America, not as the fashionable Lady Rebecca Rolfe, but as the girl I was once, as the Indian princess Pocahontas. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.